King of Scars, written by Leigh Bardugo and read by Lauren Fortgang.
The Drowning Man. Chapter 1. Dima. Dima heard the barn door slam before anyone else did. Inside the little farmhouse, the kitchen bubbled like a pot on the stove. Its windows shut tight against the storm, the air in the room warm and moist. The walls rattled with the rowdy din of Dima's brothers talking over one another, as his mother hummed and thumped her foot to a song Dima didn't know. She held the torn sleeve of one of his father's shirts taut in her lap, her needle pecking at the fabric in the uneven rhythm of an eager sparrow. A skein of wool thread trailing between her fingers like a choice worm. Dima was the youngest of six boys, the baby who had arrived late to his mother, long after the doctor who came through their village every summer had told her there would be no more children. An unexpected blessing, Mama liked to say, holding Dima close and fussing over him when the others had gone off to their chores. An unwanted mouth to feed, his older brother Pyotr would sneer. Because Dima was so small, he was often left out of his brother's jokes, forgotten in the noisy arguments of the household. And that was why, on that autumn night, standing by the basin, soaping the last of the pots that his brothers had made sure to leave for him, only he heard the damning thunk of the barn doors. Dima set to scrubbing harder, determined to finish his work and get to bed before anyone could think to send him out into the dark. He could hear their dog, Molnia, whining on the kitchen stoop, begging for scraps and a warm place to sleep as the wind rose on an angry howl. Branches lashed the windows. Mama lifted her head, the grim furrows around her mouth deepening. She scowled as if she could send the wind to bed without supper. Winter comes early and stays too long.
Hmm, said Papa. Like your mother.
Mama gave him a kick with her boot. She'd left a little glass of kvass behind the stove that night, a gift for the household ghosts who watched over the farm and who slept behind the old iron stove to keep warm. Or so Mama said. Papa only rolled his eyes and complained it was a waste of good kvass. Dima knew that when everyone had gone to bed, Pyotr would slurp it down and eat the slice of honey cake Mama left wrapped in cloth.
Great-grandma's ghost will haunt you, Dima sometimes warned.
But Pyotr would just wipe his sleeve across his chin and say, There is no ghost, you little idiot.
Baba Galina was lunch for the cemetery worms, and the same thing will happen to you if you don't keep your mouth shut.
Now Pyotr leaned down and gave Dima a hard jab. Dima often wondered if Pyotr did special exercises to make his elbows more pointy.
Do you hear that? His brother asked.
There's nothing to hear, said Dima as his heart sank.
The barn door.
Something is out there riding the storm.
So his brother was just trying to scare him.
Don't be stupid, Dima said,
but he was relieved.
Listen, said Pyotr. And as the wind shook the roof of the house and the fire sputtered in the grate,
Dima thought he heard something more than the storm, a high, distant cry like the yowl of a hungry animal or the wailing of a child.
When the wind blows through the graveyard, it wakes the spirits of all the babies who died before they could be given their saints' names. Malenchki. They go looking for souls to steal so they can barter their way into heaven.
Pyotr leaned down and poked his finger into Dima's shoulder.
They always take the youngest.
Dima was 8 now, old enough to know better. But still, his eyes strayed to the dark windows, out to the moonlit yard, where the trees bowed and shook in the wind. He flinched. He could have sworn, just for a moment, he could have sworn he saw a shadow streak across the yard, the dark blot of something much larger than a bird. Pyotr laughed and splashed him with soapy water.
I swear you get more witless with every passing day. Who would want your little nothing of a soul?